Anyway, where was I? I sent it, yes, and they published it, and it was called The Six Words I Most Want to Hear. And it was based on that parable that Jesus told about the talents from Matthew 25. I'm sure you know it, but I'll just quickly remind you of it. Man's going away, rich man's going away on a journey, and he calls three of his servants to him and says, I'm going on a journey and I'm going to divide up my property between you three to look after while I'm gone. And to one he gives five shares, and to another three, and one just gets one share. Off on his journey, comes back later on, calls them to him, says, right, now, what have you done with it while I've been away? Well, master, says the first one, the one who'd had five shares, he says, I set up a burger bar near the football stadium, and we have made an absolute killing. So here's your money back and all this profit as well. Very good. He says, calls the three share man in and says, well, what have you done? He said, well, nothing that ambitious, but I did open a little cafe. And we're doing nice in a small kind of way. So here's your money back and the profit we've made. Well done, he says. And he calls the guy in who'd only got one share. Says, right, what have you done? Well, he said, I know you're a tough man, hard to please. You like to get stuff out where you never put anything in. And I was afraid. So I took it, I dug a hole in the ground and I popped it in there. Here it is. See, I haven't lost any of it. Bad servant. You could at least, he said, have put my money on deposit with the bankers and I would have had it back with some interest. He was condemned. I will return to that in a moment. As Chris has said, my subject is service. It's an important subject. In fact, I would go further. I'd say it's right at the heart of our faith, isn't it? This idea of service. The dictionary will give you umpteen definitions. After all, we take our cars in for a service, don't we? Well, some of us do. The bus companies run a service. When Francis and I got married, we had a wedding service. But the definition, and they go on, believe me, I looked them up. The ones that help the most are the ones that say things like employment as a servant. Or the action of helping someone. Doing work for somebody, that kind of idea. That's what we're talking about here. And I want to make the point first of all, and this is really important, that the service that we offer as Christians is firstly offered to God. They whispered. It's firstly offered to God. In a kingdom, the king is to be served, and we live in a kingdom. Do you remember that incident in the wilderness when Jesus was being tempted by Satan near the beginning of his ministry? Do you remember this? And it's in Luke chapter 4 if you want to read it. Satan offered Jesus dominion over all the nations of the world if he would simply bow down and worship him. Jesus repulsed him with some words from the Old Testament, from Deuteronomy 6, and here's where we find out if this is working. He said, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And when we read the Old Testament, We constantly find the nation of Israel being challenged as to who they will serve. Will they serve God, or will they serve the idol gods of the nations round and about them? And sadly, as you know, often they chose the idol gods rather than Jehovah or Yahweh, which is more accurate. And I was reminded as I thought about this of some stirring words of Joshua not long before he died. And some of you will already know the words I'm thinking about. Joshua is about to die. He's led the nation for a long time. And he gives them this charge before he dies. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's the choice that we all have. That every man, every woman has. Choose this day whom you will serve. And you say, well, we're all Christians, Alan. Probably you are. We've still got to choose each and every day, haven't we? Who will I serve today? And Joshua, they're inspiring words. Like, you can serve who you like. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's very important. Our call is to choose to serve God. What does that mean? Well, let me just read out what I wrote. It means to follow his ways. It means to keep his commandments. It means to walk in his spirit. It means to turn away from what displeases him. It means to pursue righteousness. All these things. We please God, we serve God when we pursue truth, love, forgiveness, selflessness, generosity, honesty, kindness, sympathy, compassion, justice, mercy, purity, and so on, and so on, and so on. Just wait till I've got you all back again. The Apostle Paul never had that problem. All of those things, and if we can express it, if you like, negatively, we serve God when we reject greed, dishonesty, immorality, violence, cruelty, falsehood, excess, drunkenness, and things like that. It's very practical, isn't it? Am I serving God? Well, am I keeping his commandments? Am I living according to his ways? Am I allowing the Holy Spirit to create in me the things that he wants to? And that's the basic question to all of us. Who will we serve? Now, a quick word about what this service is supposed to be like. The psalmist says in Psalm 86, give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. An undivided heart. And Jesus says the same thing in Matthew 6. Jesus said, no servant can be the slave of two masters, for either he will hate the first and love the second, or he will be devoted to the first and think nothing of the second. You cannot serve God and money. And I would suggest that he would also have said, you cannot serve God and anything else. Called to wholehearted service, an undivided heart. You know, the disciples, they struggled to get this idea of being servants. They knew there was a kingdom. They knew that Jesus was a king. I'll give you my version of Jailhouse Rock, okay? I might need you on the piano, Dave. He's got his head in his hands. Hold on. There was a Sunday night up at Bethel years ago when David was preaching and someone went to sleep. Now, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with people going to sleep. By all means, go to sleep if you want to. But this guy, unfortunately, snored. And he snored so loudly that no one was listening to David, only to the guy serving. And I can never still remember David saying, "Will someone please poke him?" Ah, the trials we have. Have you turned it off, Sue? Well done. Good girl. Okay. Yeah, I was saying how the disciples actually struggled to get hold of this notion of being servants when they were actually thinking much more in terms of getting a seat in the cabinet. And Jesus said this. He called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And I think the last part of that is right at the heart of what I'm trying to say this morning. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. They found it a hard lesson to learn. There was another incident that you will remember when, it depends which gospel you read, but in one of them, the mother of James and John brought her sons to Jesus. And she said, "Lord, I've got a request to make." She said, "I want, when you come into your kingdom, for one of my sons to sit on your right hand and the other to sit on your left." These were positions of influence and honour, weren't they? These showed that the people who sat there were important people. And she said, "Would you grant that?" And Jesus said, "This is not for me to grant. Those positions are for those for whom my Father has already prepared them." And the other disciples, they were angry. They were really angry. How dare they try and put themselves forward into the positions we wanted? There was none of this, "They haven't got hold of the principle of service." That wasn't what they thought at all. How dare they put themselves forward to the positions we want? And Jesus has to say some more words of explanation to them, and I hope they're on this slide. "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is the greater, one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as the one who serves." Luke chapter 22. They had to understand, as we have to understand, that all followers are called to be servants. Now, I may be lost in my notes, so it doesn't matter. But I want you to understand, as I'm sure you do, that when we serve others, we serve God. And that's an important principle, that one of the ways we show our service to God is in serving one another. Paul says this in Galatians 5, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. When I love you, I serve God." Yeah? That's important that we get hold of that. And then some, just a part of a lovely passage from Philippians chapter 2, where Paul says that our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. That's a very moving song, isn't it? The last one the band led us in, "The Darling of Heaven, Crucified." He made himself nothing. He took upon him the nature of a servant, the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, became your servant and mine. That's amazing. Paul, in another well-known passage, talks about gifts that God has given to his church, ministry gifts. They are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. What for? To prepare God's people for works of service. That's what they're for. Leadership in the church, what's it for? To help us to serve God and to serve one another and to serve the community in which we live. That's what they're for. There isn't anything else. To prepare us for works of service. James, you know, James says some controversial words in chapter 2, which some, well, Martin Luther didn't like them for one. When James says, and I'm paraphrasing violently here, "Don't talk to me about your faith if you haven't got works as well. You really want me to believe that you've got faith that saves you when you do nothing to show it?" You won't find any translation that says this, but this is basically what he's saying. He says, "I'll show you my faith by the works that I do. I'll show you my faith by serving God." And any kind of faith that doesn't have some kind of effect on our lives isn't real faith, is it? It might be here, but it's not here. So that was James. And very quickly, because I don't want to trespass onto anything that David might say next week, but come on, you can do this. Why do we meet together? "We ought to see," says the writer to the Hebrews in chapter 10, "how each of us may best arouse others to love and active goodness, not staying away from our meetings, as some do, but rather encouraging one another, all the more because you see the day drawing near." Now, when I read that and I thought about arousing others to love and active goodness, I thought that sounds pretty much like service, doesn't it? And that's what should be happening here this morning, not just now when I'm talking, but all the way through. Opportunities to arouse each other to works of faith and active goodness. And one more thing. Jesus said in Matthew 5, "You are light for all the world. And you, like the lamp, must shed light among your fellows, so that when they see the good you do, they may give praise to your Father in heaven." So this service lifestyle can speak to the world, to the community round and about us. They see the way we live our lives, and they see the light of Jesus. It can be a real witness. Right. Okay. It may be that at this stage you're thinking, "I don't have an awful lot of talents. You know, I could never have sung Jailhouse Rock at a karaoke evening. I can barely change a plug. Don't get my family on about my cooking prowess. But you might well be thinking, well, you might make jokes about yourself, Alan, but I couldn't do what you're doing. And at this point, I want to tell you that many of the most precious acts of service are never seen by anybody else. In fact, Jesus said some of them shouldn't be. When you do your giving, don't blow a trumpet first and say, here, 50 quid. That's what the Pharisees did. I'm about to pray in the marketplace. Right, okay. Everyone ready? Okay, here we go. Some things should be done privately. Many things can be done quietly, unobtrusively. I might mention one or two just before I finish, because I know that some of you have a real ministry of doing quiet things that other people don't know much about. And I'm here to say that they are all of value in God's sight. What I'm doing is of value. The teacher's very valuable. But it's not a question of which is most valuable. Many things can be quiet and unobtrusive. Paul makes some points about our giftings. Let's just have a quick look at them. I'll skid through these pretty quickly. The gifts we possess, he says in Romans 12, differ as they are allotted to us by God's grace and must be exercised accordingly. The gift of inspired utterance, for example, in proportion to a man's faith, or the gift of administration, in administration. A teacher should employ his gift in teaching, and one who has the gift of stirring speech should use it to stir his hearers. If you give to charity, give with all your heart. If you're a leader, exert yourself to lead. If you're helping others in distress, do it cheerfully. Many different forms of ways in which we can serve God, says Paul, all to be used. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That's an important statement. Sometimes you hear, this man's a great prophet. You know, everyone admires him. Well, that's fine, but his gift is not so that he should be admired or so that she should be admired. Their gift is for what? The common good. If I have the gift of prophecy, it is for your good, not for my glory. And the same thing applies to every gift of the Spirit. Knowledge puffs up, says Paul, but love edifies. Love builds up. So, I could go on there, but I'm not going to. I haven't got time. And then in, come on. Can you change me, Chris? I think the thing may have packed up. Paul says in Colossians 3, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. And do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Reward, wow. Now, there's a subject, reward, but I don't have time to talk about it this morning. Friends, we are not restricted from serving God by the smallness of our abilities. We really aren't. We really aren't. I think these scriptures show, don't they, that it's God that gives us our abilities. He makes you one thing, he makes me another. He makes you good at 50 things and me good at only one. It's God who distributes the gifts. And there is some way that we can all serve God. There is. There really, really is. What you can't do without are things like faithfulness, reliability. What good is it to have a gift if you don't turn up to use it? Things like that are, you know, all the gifting in the world is ineffective if we don't have those things like faithfulness and reliability, and I would suggest wholeheartedness. Now, I must finish, but I think Chris would not be pleased with me if I didn't, before I sit down, say that the local church provides an excellent range, I'm going to sound like a sort of used car salesman, an excellent range of opportunities to serve God and to serve one another. Amen?
Amen.
Hey. And so, I put my thinking cap on and ventured into the crocodile-infested jungles of risk-taking. And try to think what we do, what goes on. Do you know, a local church could not function without the willingness of its members to serve in different ways. There's a story about a vicar who used to go out and watch. He lived in a place where there was only one train service a day, and he used to go out and watch the train come in and out. And people said, why do you go and watch the train go out every day? He said, because it's the only thing that moves around here without me behind pushing it. We need to be willing to serve, to put our talents, our gifts, our time, our energy, our money at the disposal of our church. Because I'm sure you agree with me, the local church is the best hope for the world in which we live. Some would say the only hope. So, with apologies in advance for anything I've forgotten, and if anybody's cross with me afterwards, then don't tell me. Let's see if I'm working, Chris. If not, you'll have to do it. Yeah? Okay, Chris, give us the next slide, please. Perhaps the Lord is saying I shouldn't have done this anyway because it'll only make trouble. But you might get a surprise if and when we ever see it. You really might. No? Right, Sunday mornings at Maltings. I think you're going to have to be active here because there's lots of, they're one by ones, okay? We have people doing these kind of things, setting up and taking down all the kit that we use, putting out the signs and getting them in, setting up and down and staffing the welcome desk, praying before the meeting and during it when opportunity arises, preparing, restocking and serving refreshments, giving someone a lift to the meeting, looking after the little ones in creche, leading the meeting, leading, playing and singing in the worship group. Keep going. Some more. Teaching bubbles and impact, exercising spiritual gifts, giving, bringing a word of encouragement or testimony in the meeting or maybe afterwards in the cafe, showing a friendly welcome to visitors, sharing a scripture, doing sound and vision, preaching, taking the offering and accounting for it afterwards. Keep going. sometimes on Sundays, but other times in the week, fever group, social activities, leading a meeting at Parkview Residential Home, bringing something for the food bank, hosting and leading home groups, volunteering at the well, buying, cooking, serving, washing up, cleaning, praying, chatting, praying in prayer groups or out on the streets, preparing for and attending music practices, setting up the toddlers group, running it, making contact outside the group with mums who go to it, leading the fever home group, doing the prep for that, preparing for the new day trip and fundraising activities for it. Keep going. Holding meetings of the leadership team, finance team, the church council, administrative, financial and legal bits and pieces, especially all the work that Chris does as treasurer, managing and maintaining the Bethel building, preparing ministry for Sunday mornings and at other times, doing all the other stuff that goes into some of our other Sunday activities, pastoral work, visits, phone calls, cards, helping out with things, emails, other stuff, setting up and running the market stall on Saturdays, running occasional alpha groups, hosting and running the 18s to 30s group, preparing articles and editing vital signs. Is there anything else? And finally, community events like the Community Day in the Park, the Mayor's Carol Service, Dickensian Market, etc. Organising and providing a band for the Easter March of Witness. Is, yeah. Oh my. Oh my. You know, no wonder some of us are tired. I see most of the rotas that we have because I need them to do the bulletin that we send round each week. And I can't help noticing that some of the same names crop up in lots of different ways or several different ways. And I sometimes think that as a church, we're spread pretty thin. You might say we try to punch above our weight. And so it might well be, I mean, we've had to close the well on Fridays because we can't find sufficient suitable volunteers to run it on Fridays. And some Sunday mornings when we come in to do set up, we really struggle because there aren't enough of us really, and we're sort of fighting the clock. There must be lots of other examples where there are opportunities, even just within the local church, for us to serve if we have the willingness to do it and the time. So I just sort of leave those things with you to think about. Service goes well beyond the local church. Of course it does. We should be serving God in our jobs. Anything that you can take and offer to God as an act of worship, an act of service, is service. If you can't do that, then you probably shouldn't be doing it. Well, I started, didn't I, by referring to that article I did for Joy. Put the next slide up, please, Chris. It was called The Six Words I Most Want to Hear. Do you know what they are? It's what the master said to the two servants who did well with what he gave them. And not the third one who buried it in the ground. What he said to them was, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And I want you to remember that the servant who was condemned was not condemned because he had one talent. Why was he condemned? Because he didn't use it. Buried it in the ground. He was not productive. The gifts we have from God. Our responsibility is to use them, to find some way to use them. We may not be brilliant, but we can be willing. We may not be impressive, but we can be faithful. We can be reliable. We can give it a whirl. And we can and we must have servant hearts. Let's have the band back, please.